Saludos a nuestra gente and welcome to The Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I'm your host, Maria Isa, along with my co-host,
Jessica Lopez-Lyman. We are two proud Minnesotanas, a Chicana and Boricua, proud of where we come from and where we are now. We are here to create a dialogue focused on Latinx opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment,
and a music playlist sazonado with Latinx contemporary, alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, ritmos afro-latinos y más.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Wow, mi gente, today is the day. We're starting fresh for the 2021, and we getting fresh with Jessica because we got a new president, and thank goodness it's not the FTP of the last 4 years. I mean, we took that segment out because we don't even need to acknowledge that person anymore. So Jessica, what's good, girl? I see Carmen in the Zoom.
It's good. We are good. Carmen is about to be almost 9 months teething, so you're going to hear her talking all the noise probably. But yeah, I feel like I'm breathing a little easier today now that we have a shift, using yesterday and today to celebrate. And then tomorrow, you know, we got to dig back in and keep doing the work because there is a lot of work to get done.
Tons of work. It's just been really, really amazing to feel some sort of celebration right now. And some like flashlight of hope, even though, you know, we all know how politics works, but that's what also makes our show, right? It's also what gives us our fuego and our alma, and there's hope in that. There's hope today. There's hope in seeing a Boricua Supreme Court justice swear in the very first Black Asian woman vice president. I mean, she did a chancla with all three, like, and it's just beautiful. Like, I was with my daughter and FaceTiming my mom and seeing my mom cry, like, that was just emotional and progressive, especially enduring what, you know, overcoming even just the recent events of 2 weeks ago with those terrorist attacks at the Capitol Hill. I mean, call it what you want to call it, but that was not a protest. Those were domestic terroristic harassments towards our democracy.
Absolutely. I mean, it was an attempted coup, a failed one, mm-hmm. but a coup nonetheless. And I think that today, you know, one of the things that kept being spoken about in the inauguration was that democracy has prevailed. And I think what a beautiful idea if we could actually make democracy work for BIPOC folks, mm-hmm. for queer and trans folks. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we still have a lot of work to do, but today we celebrate. I'm doing Dry January, which, like, honestly, why? Like, the worst month to do it ever. I like when the white supremacists were getting in the Capitol, I'm like, that's Carmen. She was like, what? I'm like, why are we doing Dry January? But we've been sticking to it.
Even Carmen was like, my mama is got, you know, she got it. Es una fuerza. Carmen, you know, she's our feature. Loisa might come through on the episode. We're all staying safe as possible on our Zoom recording sessions. As you guys know, we've been doing for the last couple months since, or man, almost a year now since the pandemic hit us hard. Speaking of hitting us hard, I appreciate the recognition and the memorial for all the lives that have been lost due to COVID-19. If you think back to those numbers, it's over 400,000. I mean, that's more people than World War II. And I know a lot of those numbers personally. You know, we all know somebody who knows somebody or knows someone directly. So our love and our prayers are with those familias who have lost friendships. And we continue to do the work for you and hold you up high, even though the last administration didn't care to. This is a new start for us today. And we're actually at our fifth. Wow, it's been 5 years of Latina Theory, 5 años, and we couldn't kick off this new year. We couldn't kick off celebrating the cinco, the five rings, without bringing back our co-founder and former co-host, who's just been speaking about election season, who was at the forefront, just boom, 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 making sure that our gente showed up through her work with Mi Gente, the national organization leading this fuerza, this force alongside so many amazing grassroots organizers. I am so excited to welcome not only an amiga, not only a fairy madrina to our babies, but an hermana in lucha. And there would be no Latina Theory without Ariana Henis. Ari Henis is here. La Ari Henis, what's good, mujer?
Hello, Maria Isa and Jessica. It is so beautiful to be here con las dos. And it's so a little nostalgic. I'm getting more emotional than I anticipated reflecting on the 5-year birthday of Latina Theory. I'm so happy we're continuing it.
it's real. I'm so happy that you're here. We've all been following and checking in on each other, especially during this pandemic and the election. I mean, so much has happened, right? It's like all the elements of the world. Even if we don't speak to each other on a daily or weekly basis, you know, we do communicate. The beauty of social media is that we can check in on what support grounds we can all be for each other. And I'm just, first and foremost, extremely proud of you. I'm extremely proud of the strength that you've given yourself physically, mentally, and I hope you're taking time spiritually, because obviously La Curandera is definitely something that we hold near to us here at Latina Theory. And you've been kicking butt, mujer. I mean, tell us a little bit more about your position with Mi Gente and what highlights, you know, you want to reflect on amongst this past year.
No, of course. Thank you so much again for having me, chingonas. I am so grateful to have joined the team of Mi Gente, and I was sharing this with other folks before because I have never been part of an effort that was so large where there was such an alignment on vision and values, which doesn't mean we always agree on everything. It just means we're clear on what we're trying to achieve. But where I was also trusted, right? So I accepted a position with Mi Gente last year as a North Carolina state director. And please know that I had no intention of moving to Charlotte prior to that, to North Carolina. I had never been there before, not because it's not a great state, but because I knew nothing about it. And the reason that I ended up here and why I'm taking the time to explain this is because I, like all of you, like everyone in this country, remember what it felt like when Trump was inaugurated, mm-hmm. and the terror that we experienced at watching such a bold representation of white supremacy take hold of that office. Mm-hmm. And I remember the weeks after everything that unfolded, it feels very emotional to be having this conversation on inauguration day of a new president where we can breathe a little bit lighter, right? But I remember making a promise to myself that I was going to do everything that I needed to do to get that man out of office. Mm-hmm. And it really pushed me. And I know it pushed a lot of people to take up space in a new way in leadership, in organizing, in whatever that means to you, whatever work you do, whether you're a teacher, a professor, an artist. I feel like there was a pivot that happened. And so when this opportunity came across and they said I would have the opportunity to build with an organization called Siembra NC, which is a local organization that's been organizing here for many years. That was very important to me. I wanted to make sure that we were building from what was already here and connected to the state, right, and what's been happening, and that I would be allowed to build a team from the ground up and develop their capacity to learn how to campaign. I was like, they knew what they were doing. They knew that's how you were going to get me. I get to build a team of Latinas to run shit. I'm going to say yes to that. So that's how I ended up in Charlotte. And then after we won that election, and we'll talk more about the work in North Carolina, the runoff happened in Georgia. And mm-hmm. I was so exhausted already, everyone, because mm-hmm. we had to cure ballots, which is basically make sure that everyone's vote is counted in North Carolina. And I know that voter suppression exists everywhere in this country. But when I say that, I have deeply learned in a different way what external white supremacy, like bold white supremacy, looks like in your face every day. And also voter suppression. Just props to organizers and everyone holding it down in the South, because my God, is it a different level here? And, you know, here, I'm saying here because I'm in Charlotte. So anyways, I'm bringing all that up because we're also exhausted. But when I talked to the North Carolina team and I told them, like, there's an opportunity for us to really throw down in Georgia and join our compas there. And y'all, half of that team, without even like 5 seconds, said yes. And when your team does that, you're like, well, I'm in too then. And so then went to Georgia and really just like double down on the organizing that had been happening there. Yeah, por más de 10 años. And in that, we're able to reach every single eligible Latino voter in Georgia. And I feel so proud about saying that, because in 2018 runoff, we had a total of 17,000 voters who were Latino who came out.
Yeah.
And in this year, we had 73,000 Latinas come out and vote. So what a difference when you invest in your people.
It really is. It really is. That data is so important to recognize. I was strongly focusing a lot of just looking at the census and being like, we know our numbers are growing as gente, but when it's sitting there in front of your face and you're able to share that with your gente, you really get to show you like, yo, this is your force. Utilize that, because our ancestors didn't have that same force within their numbers, you know, and that's the beauty of this election, is that fuerza. Yes. Thank you for leading that. Jessica.
Yeah, one of the things that I remember reading a few months ago in October, the Atlanta article that came out, and you reshared it with us, the focus there was looking at Latina voters specifically.
Yes.
Could you talk to us a little bit about what are some of the things that you've learned doing these past campaigns in North Carolina and Georgia, specifically when we're talking about gender as well and bringing out that Latina vote?
No, of course. So what we learned a lot in this election about Latinas as an electorate, and what I kept noticing after every every conversation I had at the door or the team had at the door, is that I'll start with the story. I was out knocking in Durham, and I got to a home, and there was like La Familia was all out on the porch, and they were all talking. And I'm like, well, here I go. I'm gonna have to interrupt this conversation and say, let's talk about voting. And I was like, I'm gonna do this. So built up the courage, approached them, and they were all, you know, kind of looking at me curious, but also like, why are you here? And then finally, one of them was like, ¿sabes qué? Voy a hablar con, ella, ella está allá. And I was like, con ella? I was like, what are you? And then I looked, and it was the daughter of the house. So she lived there, it was a daughter, right? And I looked at because, you know, in the van, which is the tool we use to talk to voters, you can see the names. And so then I confirmed the name, and they were like, yeah, that's her. I was like, okay. So I walked over there. She was getting out of her car, and we had a whole conversation and, you know, about what was at stake. And one thing we kept hearing over and over again was that Latino voters didn't care about the parties. This is not shocking to anybody at Latina Theory. Nope. I'm just saying it for all of our listeners. They really did not. They cared about making sure that our gente was heard in North Carolina, in Georgia, and that we had demands to make. Like, that was the conversation. Like, what do you want to see change in your community? What does that look like? And really, like Maria said, being clear about the numbers that we had now and how, because it was going to be such tight races, every single vote was going to matter in a way that we could not even like wrap our minds around, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are marginal voters in the context of the state, but those margins are key, right? So once you tell this big story, we were like going back and forth. And at the end of it, she was like, all right, well, what about my primas in this area? So then I looked it up where their voting location was. We wrapped up the conversation and Mary said, no te preocupes. All of them are going to vote, and I'm going to call my prima right now and make sure they vote too.
Mm-hmm.
And I share this story because we found that over and over again on the doors, that particular willingness with Latinas to not only vote, but to get their families to join them in doing that. And so that was something that we saw on the doors over and over again. And that does not mean that Latino men weren't participating. Overwhelmingly, Latino men did vote Democrat, even though we also have to admit that more than should have voted for Trump. But there was a difference there between the men and the women. And Latinas overwhelmingly are more progressive. What the data also showed us, though, was that they questioned themselves a lot more in terms of being informed enough to vote. Because I would argue of sexism, right?
Yeah.
And so then the goal of the door conversations became, how do we make sure we affirm the competence that our gente at the door, so let them know that they already have everything that they need to go exercise their right to vote, right? So that's on the end of like our voters, our gente, in terms of building a team. So we started recruiting based on like using organizing and networks, and then the pandemic hit. And cuando les digo yo that a veces me dormía, like llorando, because I was so worried, y'all. I was like, how are we going to build this team when I can't even have an office?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this state like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was statewide. So it wasn't just one area. It was three different parts of North Carolina.
I kept seeing you in your IG story, montándose, you know, in La Guagua, or like we us Boricuas say, La Guagua. It'd be like, this girl is going, you know, pa carajolandia. Like she is literally hitting up all of these little dots, and feeling nervous for you, because like you did say, you know, you're in the South and the racism is just like it is up here. You know, we know what it is to go to rural Minnesota, and and how important it is, though, to get make sure our gente show up, you know. So
exactly.
When she's saying she was out there, y'all, go back to her IG story and reflect on these caminos.
There were chickens and horses and cows in my turf, in the turf that we were in. So all of that's very true.
That's puro anyway, Latinx.
Exactly. And like my whole perception has shifted in terms of what I think about when we think about rural areas in, mm-hmm. in the state, right? Mm-hmm. Because I saw so much of our gente living in rural North Carolina, mm-hmm. and we don't have enough conversations about that. Anyways, but that's besides the point. So, but finally, we started using organizing, and who became the most attracted and who followed through the most? It was overwhelmingly Latinas. The entire team of 30-plus organizers that we hired was all Latinas. We had what we called our señora flank, which were our señoras that were like 35, you know, in their 40s.
Yeah.
That were down with this team that was majority high school, college student. And they were monolingual Spanish speakers. So I learned how to run meetings, campaign stuff, all of that también en español. When I say that I had to practice that, I had to practice that, because talking campaign language in Spanish is a whole other thing.
You got your me siento muy excited vibe.
Like, thank you for your patience. Or they'd be like, that doesn't make sense how you explained it. Let's try again. And I was like, okay, we'll try again. And then I had it. But anyway, so I think that just says something. And the fact that many of our team, not everyone could vote themselves, y'all. We had folks who were undocumented, mm-hmm. that were doing this. And when we think about who was in the front lines of our democracy, like who was literally risking their lives in a pandemic,
yeah.
to get our people out to vote to save this democracy, I want people to know that it was young people. I want people to know that included undocumented people who can't vote.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to know that it included señoras that, like, maybe didn't speak English all the way, but made it work, right? And that was who the team was. And that is overwhelmingly who the team was in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks hit over 300,000 doors. Like, immigrant folks are the ones that did that. Majority of them who couldn't vote in this election. And so all this to say, I definitely saw gender, and I wanted to make sure that the people we had who identified as men also felt included and supported them in knowing how to hold space with strong women, because that's something I feel like isn't discussed around. It's like, we do need men to learn how to coexist con mujeres that have agency and that want to take up space in the world, you know?
And shout out, you know, I was talking with Jessica, is the importance of that with this election, the support ground, even from folks that are, like you said, in different roles of leadership, and the men in leadership who recognize, like, man, if I don't step up to defend our women in this election, I'm no better than the guy who's in office or was in office. But shout out to I wanna say El Galdo Miranda Rodriguez, the creator of La Borinqueña, who recognizes the empowerment of women and our Latina women and our Afro Latinidad to take take that force of his comic book to really highlight and be a part of engaging new coming voters within the Boricua community. The numbers here in Minnesota alone have grown. If we had set 13,000 before Hurricane Maria hit, and now in Minnesota we have over 50,000 Boricuas that have came. Those are 50,000 people who can vote, right? So think about the numbers and the larger populations that are in the South, like Georgia, which is totally Boricuanized, you know? So totally Boricuanized, you think Florida, you think North Carolina, all of these coastal lines where you don't need a connecting flight to go to Puerto Rico or back and forth. So it was beautiful to see men like him, artists like that, who are like, man, I'm going to sit back and I'm just going to design, and I'm going to hire a whole team of Latina artists from sound to animation to the voices to be the lead to make sure our gente are showing up. So that was like awesome for me to be a part of it and say, my girl's down there doing this work. No, for real. Like, she's down there. So, and I'm getting all of this, you know, the artistic background of production to be like, wow. We are so strong when we utilize our team, and this virtual world has taught us to say we can't give up. You know, we definitely can't give up.
It was beautiful. Oh, sorry, Jessica.
I was just going to say, I think that's the other big learning lesson. You know, in the Academy, we have people researching all the time about the, you know, quote unquote, dirty South, the new Latinx South outside of the Southwest. Because, of course, when we think about the Latinx voting bloc, we think about Texas, Arizona, mm-hmm. Which even definitely swung more, right? Arizona, specifically this last presidential election. Of course, California. But I think that's another lesson that we've learned. And I'd love to hear your thoughts, Ari, on this, too, since you've been organizing in the South that really usually operates on a black-white spectrum. You know, what did it mean to have a Latinx voting bloc because the numbers were so close?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And this is one of the reasons that mi gente chose to organize in North Carolina and Georgia. It's because often these our gente is more unseen in this area because of the lack of understanding of the complexity and richness of the South, I would argue. But yeah, I would say it was instrumental in helping us get in North Carolina. We weren't able to turn that state blue, but you better know that showing up in the numbers that we did, right, is helping change the culture in the state to get to a Georgia, right? Like, that's the goal here, is to like help, you know, create that momentum and to do so in a way that honors and is in alliance with Black leadership and Black organizing, yes. Which I think is really, really important to highlight here. Yes. In every move that we made, it is not without acknowledging the fact that there is the accomplishment that we've made in these states in the South is thanks to Black organizing and Black leadership. And so we are here to build with that and honor that. And so in Georgia, longer term investment in that, not just as an organization, pero la gente, you know, like talking to our people about what that means and like the need of that for us to be more powerful is what allowed us to be able to throw down in Georgia in the way that we could, and to throw down with Black-led organizations as well, and to be recognized with them. That would not have happened, y'all, if it was not years of relationship building. Because let me tell you something. I am still learning about the BS radar in North Carolina and Georgia in terms of who's allowed into spaces, who's trusted for very, very real reasons. And that doesn't happen unless you do the work to develop trust with folks, right? And so I would say it was instrumental for our gente to come out. And it's also very important that the way that we came out was not to say, oh, it's our time, like only Latines, AKA only white passing Latines type of stuff. But it's like, no, it's our time. All of our gente, all of our Afro-Latinx gente, and also like our Black folks that are here that have been here, it's our time like that collectively, right? So I do think that level of intention was absolutely needed for the significance to be as much as it was. And what has me really excited about the future in the South.
We are gonna get into some música here on Latina Theory. And we're gonna play, since we've been highlighting the election and it is Inauguration Day, I'm gonna go ahead and play Las Cafeteras' version of Georgia on my mind.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
A shout out to them for continuing to do great movement work. They also dropped a baby line of clothes, which is super cute. Check them out. And this spring, Maddie and I are talking about dropping a toddler newborn line of Latina Theory gear. So get it for, you know, your god kids, for your babies, what have you. But yeah, you got to keep moving and building with the young ones. So Ari, it's so good to have you. We have Ariana Janice here. Celebrating the 5 years of Latina Theory. We've been talking a lot about organizing. You've done so many different campaigns up in Minnesota, now down in the South. What are some tips you have or suggestions for folks that might not consider themselves an organizer, but really have a desire to get into organizing? Where do you even begin?
That is a great question. So I would say start by asking yourself why you want to organize. Because I think that it's really important to realize, like, all right, am I someone that cares about social change work? What does that mean? What does that look like? Because once you get clear with that, you can realize that you can organize no matter what kind of work you do. You can be a massage therapist and organize folks. You can work at the co-op. You can work in music. You can work in a corporation. Right? Everyone has a role to play in the ecosystem that organizing is a part of. And so I would definitely say, ask yourself that question and then see that there's capacity no matter what field you're in. And then I would say, find an organization that you feel aligns with your values that can help begin to develop your understanding of power, of what it is, getting clear on why you want it, and really like the building blocks of organizing so that you can learn how to apply it in your own context. And then the final thing I'll say is finding a type of mentor or co-conspirator that can help develop you is really, really important. And also know that no matter where you are in your journey, whoever is accepting the gift of mentoring you, like, you are also helping evolve them and their organizing and their leadership development. Because organizing is so much about leadership development. But I would say those would be like the key steps. And obviously learn about organizing and theory and all of that. But one thing I am seeing, especially now with our younger folks that are coming through and are incredible and like know so much history and are clear about oppression in a lot of ways and are bold in a different way, right? Our Gen Z, I would say, yes, take all of that in, but also know that learning how to practice those values is the one of the most important parts. Otherwise, you'll get stuck in your head or you'll get stuck trying to find perfect organizing, and no one can do that because we're all imperfect humans doing the best we have. Obviously, we need to have clear values, and that's what helps anchor us into doing good work. But I would say getting your hands dirty and trying things out is one of the most important parts in really developing as an organizer, so that you know that you're doing it for people and so that your people are actually challenging you every day to grow as a leader and to think bigger in terms of power and what kinds of changes we need for our gente.
Whew, girl, it doesn't surprise me to see the role of leadership that you're taking when it comes to making sure our gente are showing up and our gente are making not just decisions for our generation and our elders, but for, you know, Loisa's generation, for Carmencita's generation, for your sisters who will be voting, you know, if you think about it, within the decade, right? So that's beautiful. And who knows, maybe they'll be voting for their sister in something, or their tia. But we also got
to
recognize.
I keep asking real quick. I keep saying, like, when do I donate to your campaign, Adriana? I'm waiting, you know, ready to screen print you some posters over here.
I appreciate it.
So, you know, it's beautiful to see it grow nationally. We always tend to ditch out the, when we talk about just we're in Minnesota, there's so many people, oh, local artists or local educator. We're like, no, we're national, you know, we're not just sticking on our blacks. We take our blacks everywhere we go. And yes. I think that's the beauty of our Latinidad. That it's not even just our blacks. We hold and we take the campos, we take the pueblos of our antepasados, you know, the antellanos that we carry in our teachings. And speaking about, you know, our antellanos, speaking about our ancestors, speaking about why we do the work, what are you doing? Because I brought this up, but this is our curandera remedy. You know, what are you doing to decompress from not only North Carolina, not only Georgia, but just even the state of where we were at 2 weeks ago, and visualizing like, hey, we have personal attacks on the work that we do when all we are really wanting to do is balance, you know, balance. So what are you doing to keep that balance? What are your curandera remedies in the aftermath of election 2020?
That is a great question. I am taking time to rest. Good. So I took a month off, and it has been really, really great to be able to sleep. So there's basic things like that. I will say this past election cycle is the first time since the beginning I committed to myself that I was going to care for myself. Mm-hmm. And in the same way that I planned everything else that I had to do for the campaign, I planned sleep. I planned time with my dad. And like keeping up with it, right? Like that spirituality has become an increasingly growing part of my life now, which I know Maria Isa has been working on me for years now. So I know she's very proud on that front. And recently became acquainted with Joy Harjo's poetry. And it speaks to me in such a profound way. And I have really found like my spirituality being enhanced by through art, really. That's no surprise. And so making time for that. So still making time for things that made me happy. If it was just moments, you know, and exercise, y'all, like moving my body, like running, going running with people, obviously social distance because of the pandemic. I was lucky enough to be in the South. So being outside was a lot easier. And so really took advantage advantage of that. And so physical activity became like a core part of how I process my anxiety also, just because it was such a stressful election season. Eating, making sure to eat like my own meals, that was really big. I'm not, these things sound so basic, but when things get so stressful, those things literally fall on the wayside. Like they just fall off your list. And I just refuse to let that happen, which means now that I'm decompressing, I'm not so that I can't even like function, which is what happened to me in past election cycles, right? And so I'm definitely taking time to do that and to journal and continue therapy. All of those things have been really important for me to be grounded in the work and in myself and my life and be present for it, you know?
I am so happy that te está cuidando, and I'm appreciative that you're spending time at your altar. Definitely, it's a new year. I've been seeking a whole bunch of great guidance from the elders and throughout Puerto Rico and Mexico and Cuba and nationally to make sure that we take that time to reflect, right? Put our agüita out, our vasito de agua, light our candles, make sure that we have some movement. Even if we can't move, we can't fly on, take a trip somewhere, you know, change the setup in your crib, go buy some new art, go, you know, move things around, because there's rhythm in that, and there's rhythm in cleaning and keeping it balanced. So thank you for doing that. And what music are you listening to? Because, you know, that's my next question.
Yeah, we got to play something.
Okay, I have really, really been into, hold on, I really love that I'm going to forget the name of the wonderful person I'm talking to. I made a full list of my favorite albums. Okay, so a song that I'm really, really into right now is Ojos Noche, and it's by Elsa and Elmar, and mm-hmm. It features, what's her name? You're going to have to edit this. I'm sorry. Carla Morrison. So a song I've been listening to is Ojos Noche that features Carla Morrison, because I love Carla Morrison. That's been really great. I've also been really into, obviously, Natalia Lafourcade and Bad Bunny. Oh my God, Bad Bunny released so much music last year. It was a gift.
Shout out to my primo, El Vega Bajeño, Benito, te queremos un montón. Tiene el mundo en tu mano, está acabando. You know, he did a Corona commercial and then he got Corona, but he's good. He's quarantined, he's good.
Benito. He's been amazing. El Lidio Pimienta.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Beautiful. That one is the one that I've been listening to a lot.
Adi, anything, please tell our, I know we know how to follow each other, but can you tell our listeners how they can continue to keep updated on all the amazing stuff you're doing?
Of course. Folks can follow me on Twitter at Ariana Henny. So it's just my full name, A-R-I-A-N-N-A, and then Henny, G-E-N-A-S. And on Instagram, it's Adi_Hennies.
Awesome. And Carmen, saying goodbye to you too, but let's tell us, our listeners, where they can follow Mi Gente at. I'm going to run that back. Also, you tell our listeners where they could follow Mi Gente at.
Yes. So on Instagram, it's at Con Mi Gente. And on Twitter, I believe it's the same. And Mi Gente spelled with a J instead of a G. Everyone, we know that is not grammatically correct. The J is for justice. All right.
I got a song for you. I'm definitely going to play yours, but I definitely have to make sure that you smile and you dance in the mirror as my love to you. I want you to play La Materialista, Pa que Maje. It's my fave. And you definitely got to, you know, perial sola in the mirror to that one. Or find whoever you want to perial with to that. But that's the song of the week here at Latina Theory. Check it out. The homegirl, La Ari Henis, the comadre, the co-founder, We love you. I love you, Montón. We'll be staying in touch, and we hope to have you back here. You know, this is your casa. Once there's no Ari left, she's just moving. So that's just what it is. Is the waters have flowed.
She's just not recording today. That's all.
That's it.
We love you both. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for the
mujeres. Felicidades on your 5 years, Latina Theory co-founders.
Yes,
we did it, y'all. And thank you for continuing that work, Jessica.
Yes.
And
palante, ache bendición, mamita. Peace.
La que tiene magia no tiene que hacer truco, mami. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Quiero decirte algo, papi, aunque tú lo sabes. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Quiero decirte algo, papi, aunque tú lo sabes. Suelta el boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 va que maje. Suelta el boom, 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 va que maje. A ti te gusta suave, 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 suavecito. Como yo me muevo el pasito. Tú y yo solito en la cama dándonos besitos. Super afisado así como dos chamaquitos. Que yo te lo hago bien en lo que a ti te gusta. Porque soy una dama que en la cama es puta. Todo el mundo está claro de lo bien que nos llevamos. Cuánto disfrutamos y ni lo publicamos. ¿Ah? Tú no me das like, pero me stalkea. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Quiero decirte algo, papi, aunque tú lo sabes. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Quiero decirte algo, papi, aunque tú lo sabes. Suelta el boom, 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 pa' que maje. Suelta el boom, 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 pa' que maje. ¿Será que no pueden ver que dos gente estén bien? De una vez viven mandando fotos por DM. Por más que ustedes enseñen la chapi y esos ten, sigo siendo yo la que se lo menea bien. Así que no se sientan mal, pero la verdad es que a ustedes les toca mirar. Hacen una cuenta falsa, nada más para stalkear, tú supiste. Quieren ser como la material. Tú no me da like, pero me stalkea. Tú no me da like, pero me stalkea. Tú no me da like, pero me stalkea. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Quiero decirte algo, papi, aunque tú lo sabes. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Suelta el boom del bajo pa' que maje. Quiero decirte algo, papi, aunque tú lo sabes. Suelta el boom, 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 pa' que maje. Suelta el boom, 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 boom. Pa' que maje, pa' que maje, rompiendo records music, la materialista, Light G, suelta el boom debajo pa' que maje, baby.
And we're back here on The Latina Theory. It was once again so awesome to have our former co-host and our co-founder of Latina Theory celebrating 5 y pico, I feel like, 5 years of Latina Theory. It's we inaugurated President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris today. It's, you know, a lot of good things, a lot of good things. And La Ari Henis, who's been at the forefront, you heard it from her. Make sure you check her out. At Mi Gente. We just heard from La Materialistas, Pa Que Maje. I love that song. It's just fun to dance to. I miss, you know, doing that with a lot of people. And having some, you know, free time for me to be able to sweat, dance, have a shot with the homegirls at the club, and then come back home and do it all over again. But that's not the time we're living in, but you could still do it Imperial Sola like Bad Bunny does. Jessica. Girl, what you think about this new time? What we doing? What we doing?
I don't even know. We have a lot of great things coming up, though, this winter for folks, for listeners on Latina Theory. We're going to have some educators on that look at transformative justice in the school, that talk about decolonizing education. We're going to have Rita Ortega on in the future. She's going to be running for city council of Ward 9, originally Alondra Cano's seat. Alondra Cano, if those of you are not familiar, she was the first Latina to be elected to the city council for Minneapolis. And now we have Rita running, so we'll have her on a little later, maybe some other folks that are also going to be running. We're going to bring some birth workers on, talk about all things labor, doula, medical industrial complex, whatever things they want pandemic to drop with us.
Pregnancies. So I'm excited.
What'd you say?
I'm sorry, I said pandemic pregnancies.
Oh yes, pandemic pregnancies. I just like to call them the pandemic babies. We took Carmen for a walk. I took her for a walk yesterday. She saw like dogs. She's never seen, we don't have dogs, you know, so she saw dogs. She saw more people in the park than she's seen in a long time. And her eyes the whole time were like deer in headlights, right? Totally freaked out. So yeah, our pandemic babies that might not see that many people. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the shows that we're going to have, the interviews that will be coming up. If you have an idea for a show, you can always drop us a DM. We love hearing from our listeners about topics you're interested in, people that you want to hear from for interviews, you know, let us know.
Also, we have the second Latinx Bliss happening, but it will be virtual this year, featuring DJ Christian Baca, DJ Queen Duina, Reynaldo Lara, who is going to be doing an awesome video of artwork and showcasing and talking about what he's been working on during the pandemic, and feature other Latinx artists amongst the Twin Cities, as Latinx Bliss is a celebration of Latinx arts, música, and cultura in the Twin Cities. It won't be obviously a place that you can physically go there, but virtually you can definitely check us out. I'll be sharing some new music, and Latina Theory is going to host it. So shout out to Springboard for the Arts for being able to provide funding for pandemic projects and progression and supporting our Latinx community. We got some cool things happening, like Jessica says, so stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter, at Latina Theory. Follow us on IG, at Latina Theory. You can check us out individually on both of those sites. Both of our tags are on there. And we want to hear from you. Let us know what you want to listen to. Let us know what you want to discuss, your pros, your cons, de toito. And I'm getting ready to put some food and feed the familia in a little bit here. So we also want to hear about recipes and maybe some recipes that you guys would like to share on Latina Theory, so we can all feel healthy and eat well while we're in this pandemic lifestyle. I love you, girl.
Love you, too. I'm really looking forward to the music you're going to be dropping and this Latinx Polis. One thing that's nice about not having to go out is you can have solo dance parties in your chonies, you know, and your PJs. So that may be my silver lining here. I'm going to be the laziest person going out after this pandemic, being like, wait, we got to put pants on to go?
Hey. You know, some people don't even know what I be wearing when it goes below the waist when I be in these Zoom meetings. But I definitely have pantalones on right now, so we're good. I love you, Carmencita, who is co-hosting with us today in the background. Shout out to the babies. Shout out to the elders. And shout out to you for staying strong. Que siguen pa'lante siempre. And we appreciate you tuning into the
Latina Theory.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory. Un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Él siempre me recogía con su mirada de amante y me llevaba a lugares que yo no conocía cuando me recogía. Hablábamos de la vida y de sus planes cambiantes. Hablábamos del presente, de ayudar a la gente, de los tiempos de antes. Pero no lo volví a ver. Luego no lo volví a ver. Yo decía la Mostraba la luna, me leía mi fortuna, me sentía.